In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
When you hear the term homeschooling, well, for a lot of people, that almost immediately carries kind of a fringe impression, doesn't it? Maybe some very well-meaning parents, precocious children, children who do turn out to be really rather well-educated, but the myth, perhaps, is that they're poorly socialized. Now, if you have some of those mythical ideas about homeschooling floating around in your mind, it's hard to avoid them the way that the culture treats homeschooling. We hope to dispel some of those and educate ourselves a little better on homeschooling in the course of this first hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to do a little homeschooling 101 with Cheryl Swope here in the first hour of the program. In the second hour, we'll turn to the subject of some sexual abuse charges. We should say further sexual abuse charges filed against Bill Gothard, formerly of the Institute of Basic Life Principles. Sarah Pulliam Bailey of the Washington Post will join us to talk about that. She's written a story for the Post recently on that. And then it's Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Joining us to talk about homeschooling 101, Cheryl Swope. She's a regular guest. She has homeschooled her two children. She's a lifetime board member of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, author of the book Simply Classical, and co-author of a new publication, Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home. Cheryl, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
Many people think about teaching their kids at home, and home for them is not geared toward a learning environment. It's the place where everybody unwinds and lets their hair down. So they have a hard time picturing what school at home is going to look like on a day-to-day basis. Can you paint us a realistic picture of what it's like to homeschool on a typical day?
Realistically, I think the first thing to know is that homeschooling parents are not super parents. So it really is a challenge, like you said, to have that same nurturing home environment and keep it relaxed and loving, and yet give it the structure that's necessary to get some things accomplished academically. So a typical day is going to be different for every family, of course, but often families will start with some sort of morning devotion time. The nice thing about homeschooling is that you have the time to do that. You don't have the rushing out the door to go to school, so you can start the day that way. Parents do a lot of different things. Many Lutheran homeschoolers will use the Lutheran service book. Sometimes, often, a pastor is the father, or the father is a pastor, and he will lead those devotions perhaps before he goes to his office. But some sort of setting the tone for the day is common among Christian homeschoolers. From there, many families will tackle the hardest subjects like math or Latin, or tackle the things that need one-on-one attention like reading instruction. And many families will try to get finished with the hardest things by lunchtime because it's hard to corral everybody back after lunch. And so then the afternoons, again, differ by family. Some families will use outside activities like music or gymnastics or any kind of get-togethers or even just appointments, or others will allow their children to kind of explore interests in the afternoons. Sometimes families can group their children in the afternoons for history or science, things that don't have to be taught individually.
So people look at that. That's kind of the typical day. Expand out from there, because we're so structured in the public school system you've got your school year, you've got your semesters, you've got your summer vacation, you have your time off, and then you get through elementary school in 6 years, you get through middle school in 3 years, and you get through high school in four. Does that kind of go by the wayside a little bit, either accelerated or slowed down depending on the circumstance when you're teaching your kids at home?
It's hard to represent all homeschooling right. families, honestly. There are so many different ways and different approaches. The one I'm the most familiar with lately is through Memoria Press, because they were the ones who embraced Simply Classical in our special needs curriculum. So I've become very familiar with the Memoria Press model. They actually do keep to that sort of general schedule like you're describing, because the families who homeschool through Memoria Press use the same curriculum that Highlands Latin School, an acclaimed school in Louisville, Kentucky, and beyond, use. So there is a pre-K and a K and a 1 and a 2 and so on all the way through high school. So you do have that same framework. It depends on the curriculum that a family chooses, though.
You had, for your latest publication, you had Pastor Matt Harrison write the foreword. And he is a great proponent of both something you just mentioned, classical education, and also of homeschooling. They kind of go very nicely together. He actually quotes Jesus in the preface to the book, where he says, "The truth will set you free." And he talks a bit about a liberal arts education. What is that insight that's so important for homeschoolers to have?
Well, first I have to make a correction. I didn't have Pastor Harrison write the foreword. I asked him, and he generously wrote the foreword. And I was so grateful to him for doing that, because we wanted the synod to officially approve Lutheran homeschooling as a viable option for families. For some families, and I know I'm getting off the topic for a moment, but some families have children with special needs like mine, and they can't attend Lutheran schools. Others simply choose it as a natural extension of their vocation as parents. And we hadn't really had formal approval from Synod until this book, Eternal Treasures, came out. So we really appreciated Pastor Harrison taking the time to do that. I think it was either on the way to the Wittenberg Project or on the way back from Germany that he penned this. So anyway, with that little correction, yes, he says, "Et veritas liber abit vos," which is, "and the truth will liberate you, make you free." He gives a nice sort of definition of a liberal arts Lutheran education, a classical Christian education here. He says, "A genuine liberal education, classical Christian learning, is learning which rejoices in truth, in texts, in ideals, in faith in Christ, in source documents, in the views of those who spoke truth across the ages, in music, in mathematics, in Holy Scripture, in confessional documents, in the small catechism, in great books, in art, in great ideas, and in genuine science." The way that that works with homeschooling is that we have the freedom to choose the curriculum that we want and teach our children at the pace that they need. As you mentioned, it could be slower or it may be more accelerated. We can delve more deeply into subjects that our children are interested in. For my son, it was history. And to this day, they're graduated now, my children, but they still have that passion for learning. So my daughter and I, we still study Latin together. We're in first form Latin now. And we have a routine where we study our Latin and we sing Latin sacred songs from Lingua Angelica. And then we're reading the Iliad together. Mm. My son he likes to study on his own. So he's reading the Epic of Gilgamesh right now, which is one of the oldest epics. It predates Homer and Virgil. And he says it's fascinating. He said it's, what did he say last night? It's short and arduous. Mm-hmm. It's an odd read. But that whole period of Sumeria, Mesopotamia, it all interests him. So he's able to explore those things in a in a deep way without needing to write reports about them. And there's a freedom to homeschooling that allows for a person to embrace the liberal arts in a Christian context.
So it is, and we've talked about this before, it is an approach to education that values knowledge and learning not as means to an end, but, and not to put too fine a point on it, but as a good in itself, not as simply a way to get you on in life or on in a career or on in your plans or whatever. Talk a bit about that.
Right. Well, you'll recognize these words, I think. It has to do with the two kingdoms. The Christian resides in both God's spiritual and temporal kingdoms simultaneously. He does not cross the border from one into the other, but is a citizen and resident of both at the same time, all the time. That comes from your chapter in Where Christ is Present.
It did sound familiar to me.
I thought it would. The nice thing about our theology is that it gives us the freedom. Again, I'm using that word a lot, but we are blessed to be able to embrace academics and Christian catechesis at the same time. And both of those have far more to offer our children and ourselves than just the practical aspect or the pragmatism view of how will this get me a job? Yes, it's so much more about building character, nurturing faith, and developing the intellect too. In many homeschooling circles, there's this false dichotomy between academics and Christianity, or sort of a way of thinking that makes it so that it's forbidden. You're forbidden to read things like Homer or Virgil or Cicero or even Dickens and Shakespeare. The thinking is so narrow that if you are reading things that are not exclusively Christian, then you're in danger of losing your children. Well, we don't look at it that way. We look at academics supporting our Christian faith with a stronger intellect, the ability to understand catechesis, not that the intellect grants faith, but that it's the servant of our faith instruction.
So it's not an approach as so many people, it's homeschooling and even classical education are often maligned this way, trying to somehow Christianize culture or Christianize, everything has to have a Christian aspect to it. So that if you're studying, as you say the classics of the heathen, that's what you're really talking about.
Right, the pagan classics.
Yeah, the pagan classics. Mm-hmm. If you're studying those, you may be well corrupting your children, trying to keep your children from all this worldly corruption. You say, no, we want our children to have the most well-rounded knowledge of the world as it has been, as it is, that we can possibly give them. And that may challenge faith, but it does not diminish faith.
No, and this, there's a long history of this. I mean, I'm certainly not coming up with this myself. This goes back to the Middle Ages with Cassiodorus. He penned a book called The Divine and Secular Learnings, and Augustine was a champion of Christian doctrine and classical learning. And reading also from another part in your chapter, the earthly kingdom finally exists for the sake of the spiritual kingdom, you said. And that's where we would say that the Christian worldview, Christian truth, that always trumps anything that's in that other canon. But we have two kingdoms and we have two canons, really, the canon of Western civilization and the canon of Holy Scripture. And we have all of these riches that God has given us, and we can share these with our children.
Cheryl Swope is our guest. We're talking about Homeschooling 101. She's homeschooled her two children. She's a lifetime board member of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and author of her latest book, co-author of Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home. We'll be right back.
E Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Pastor, have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on today's culture, but didn't know where to begin? Have you struggled to find a biblical approach to the topic? Well, Concordia University, Wisconsin has an exciting, free, online course starting on January 11th entitled Catechistin, Using Your Head in Pastoral Work. It's taught by noted Lutheran philosopher Dr. Gregory Schultz. Sign up before January 11th by clicking the Catechistin logo at issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for 8 consecutive years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you in 2016. Lutheran Talk, Lutheran Music, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'm talking with Cheryl Swope. She's homeschooled her 2 children, and we're talking about homeschooling 101. Cheryl, you mentioned this a little bit before the break, but also your situation is a little unique. You had both the kids that you have homeschooled, now graduated, special needs kids. Describe that situation, how homeschooling was just right for that.
We adopted our children. They came to us as babies when they were 1. And I'm sort of a natural homebody, so I had been looking into homeschooling anyway. I thought it would just be a wonderful thing to do. I was buying books for our children before they ever even came to us, before I knew that we would have children. So I wanted to do that already. I was already looking into that. I didn't know if it'd be the best thing for our children. When they came to us and they had all of these different needs, developmental needs at the time, and then in early childhood, autism became apparent. We had the option of sending them to early intervention programs or homeschooling them and finding our therapies privately. I knew enough about the impact of progressive education, so-called, on special education that I was leery of placing them in that setting. I also was concerned about things like bad company corrupts good morals, and I was concerned about the impact on their oral language and their faith and their cognition. Would they still hear poetry? Would they still be able to listen to wonderful music? And would they study great art in these programs? So we decided that we would homeschool for a little bit, at least get them ready for kindergarten. And I have a master's in special ed, and I was fairly confident I could get them ready by kindergarten. But when that time came, their needs began to be more significant, and they revealed themselves in specific learning disabilities, processing difficulties, auditory processing, things that made group learning quite difficult. So then we thought we'll just go a year at a time and see how things progress. And then it began to be such a good fit and such a nice family thing to do that we were all learning together. And it was like that your initial question of school at home versus relaxing at home, it all became kind of a melding together of we just all learn together and live together. And it was as though it was as natural as any other lifestyle. And so we continued, and yes, they did graduate. Their needs preclude them from going to college, though they both now also have severe mental illness, like their biological mother did. So they both have schizophrenia, and that makes for some good days and some very not good days. But they both want to keep learning. So now we're doing what I'm calling post-schooling.
What is that? What is that? Is that just more of the same, really?
It's not more of the same in the sense that they're both almost 21 now. So I'm letting them select the kinds of studies that they want to do. My daughter wants to continue doing Latin. So we're studying Latin and we're reading the Iliad, but like a play. She's very much into theater. So I have to be Agamemnon and she has to be Achilles. And so we're reading it out loud that way. I feel like there's no reason not to enjoy what we're doing. And my son likes to study on his own. So after he's finished with the Epic of Gilgamesh, his self-assignment is the Aeneid, because he said, I've read the Odyssey and the Iliad, so the Aeneid makes sense to read next. And so that's kind of what it is. It's more of a relaxed approach.
So let's talk about there's another kind of hand in glove situation here. And that is Christian catechesis along with all other catechesis. All learning is catechesis. That's all it is. But talk about how those two go together in the home so nicely.
The thing about Christian catechesis in the home is that it's far from merely academic, because every day we sin against each other. And every day we have trials of one sort or another. And every day we're able to practice asking forgiveness and giving forgiveness. And in that sense, we're living Christian catechesis. When we say we daily sin much, that's evident when you're all home together. It allows us to be more systematic about our catechesis also. It's not just through for the confirmation years, but many families use the Concordia Catechetical Academy or other systematic approaches to long-term catechesis. So we can start when our children are little, and like I said, we have the freedom, the luxury of doing that in the mornings or the evenings or at noontime, because we're all together all day.
There's a connection to the Christian doctrine of vocation that you guys deal with at some length in your latest book, Eternal Treasures. How would you explain the biblical understanding of vocation and how it goes together with educating your kids at home?
In the preface, which my co-author, Rachel Whiting, who's just a lovely, beautiful young mom of four children, she wrote about parents as God's mask, that we are the ones that nurture and teach our children, but it's God's work. And in spite of our own weaknesses and our own failings to our children, it is God himself who is leading our children to himself through his word. That gives us great comfort. That aspect of vocation came home to me when I first read Dr. Veith's book, God at Work. It was a great comfort to me, realizing that all of this is his work. He uses us as his instruments of care for our children. And this is true, of course, whether we are parents or school teachers or home educators.
Cheryl Swope is our guest. We're talking about homeschooling 101. She has created a classical Christian education curriculum for children with special needs. You can find out more about it at classicalspecialneeds.com. All one word, classicalspecialneeds.com. You can save $5 when you use the coupon code LPR, classicalspecialneeds.com. www.christianeducationinthehome.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how this Christian education in the home has unique connections to the life of the church on Sunday morning. Stay tuned. Standing Firm in a Hostile World is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking Homeschooling 101 with Cheryl Swope. She's homeschooled her two children. She's a lifetime board member of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and author of the book Simply Classical, co-author of her latest publication, Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Children at Home. Cheryl, let's talk a little bit about how this Christian education at home has unique connections to the life of the church. I'm thinking here not just about our life as individual Christians, but the life of the church lived out Sunday by Sunday in the divine service. Describe that for us, if you would.
One of the things that we hoped to do with this book was to connect the family, the congregation, and the school to help the child realize that all of these are interconnected. Having the opportunity to homeschool does mean that you have more time to be in your congregation and to be active. So, for example, we have more time to attend the adult Bible classes. We have more time to go to the evening services. We don't have the competing schedule of a school necessarily. It allows the children to read at a more advanced level. And so sometimes they can participate in adult Bible classes. My children did. So they have read through the entire Lutheran Confessions, the whole Reader's Guide to the Confessions, I think it's called.
The Reader's Edition, yes.
Yes, they have read that entire thing because they were able to sit through the adult Bible class. So, no, anyone can do that. But with homeschooling, being able to reinforce that at home is very helpful. However, we also have schools who are Lutheran schools that are embracing homeschoolers. And we do have a whole section in Eternal Treasures called A Common Cause, that we're all in this cause together of Christian education. That includes the congregation and the school and the home. So uniting those efforts in a way that hasn't been done in the past. In the past, it's been sort of an us versus them, homeschoolers versus a school, or especially if that congregation has a school. But we really want to encourage our children to embrace their vocations as congregational members so that they are visiting the sick and partaking of the sacraments. The participation in the church sometimes is at a stronger level with children who are homeschooled because you can do things like practice the liturgy at home. We did that when our children were really little. They practiced the Gloria Patri, the Sanctus. We did that when they were very small. So then when the time for that song would come, then you could just see their little ears. Oh, that's my song. And so then they'd stand up and they would sing that too. And again, any family can do that. And I do want to say, we are not saying that homeschoolers are better parents in any way. It's just that it's an equally viable option for families. And that's why this book came about. The LCMS School Ministry is actually the one who published the book. They wanted to say that, yes, Lutheran families can be involved in Lutheran education, even if they're not part of a school.
So I'm intrigued by this because that does kind of break the mold a little bit that probably never should have been there in the first place, because we're not the first generation to educate our kids at home. But to encourage the congregation, whether they have a Lutheran parochial school or not, to think about Lutheran education beyond just that our school, and think about it in terms of the families in the congregation who educate their kids at home too. That's part of our task as a congregation in Lutheran education. That seems to me. Even if it's the best possible world here, you have a congregation that doesn't have a freestanding school, but still can think of itself involved in Lutheran education through its homeschooling families.
Yes, by supporting the homeschooling families. That's very true. And we have many pastors who contributed to this book. I did not write the book by myself, nor did my co-author. Obviously, she and I wrote the book together, but way beyond that, we have hundreds of voices of homeschooling families, homeschooling pastors. We have headmasters of schools too, all saying exactly what you said, that this is all of us helping to educate our children in the faith and to encourage those parents who have taken such a large task on themselves with the academics alongside the Christian education.
A couple final questions for you, Cheryl. Respond to those, and this is a concern that many have. Some of it's born of a mischaracterization of homeschooling, but some of it is also just a natural concern. If I do this, I want to do this. This sounds great, but my kids will be isolated from the rest of the world, and I'm going to push them out of the nest at 21 to go off to the university, and they will experience this terrible culture shock because we've kept them in the close confines and isolation of the home. How do you respond to that?
Well, in homeschooling circles, they call it the S word, you know, socialization. Mm-hmm. It is the thing that's always brought up. Most of the time, it's well-meaning people who have that concern. And so what we usually encourage young families to do is make sure that you explain to this grandparent or whomever, the neighbor, that your children indeed are involved in many things. It might be scouting, it might be music, gymnastics, dance, sports. They're involved in all kinds of different things. In fact, most homeschooling families find that they have to make a point to carve out time for academics because they're involved in so many different things. And often homeschooling families will hear how polite, how well-mannered, how engaging their children are. And I think it's because they're not isolated into all third graders all day long, but instead they have a much wider variety of people that they interact with. And they tend to be children who will approach adults without fear and engage in conversations. And they can too, because often they are well-read. So that helps their conversation. But I'm sure you can have a homeschooling hermit kind of family. The ones that we have encountered throughout our whole homeschooling have not been like that.
I think the term precocious comes to mind when people think of the average homeschooled kid. They're smart. They're confident. They do tend to be socialized in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the family is the primary place for socialization, they tend to be socialized at a pretty sophisticated level. But they stand out. You mm-hmm. just mentioned this. They stand out from many other kids whose socialization takes place in that completely different environment. It may not be better or worse, but they do tend to stand out. Talk about that as part of the challenge of preparing your kids for adult life in the world when they have, for most of their lives, kind of had that reaction to them. What a precocious little boy. Smart and seems to know everything and that kind of thing.
Well, that gets back to your question about the divine service too, because humility is something that is also encouraged and taught and nurtured through God's word. Children are not supposed to be little know-it-alls or little professors. That's not what we're going for at all. We want our children to be well-rounded in the sense that they forgive, they know that they are forgiven, and they serve, and they understand that everything that has been given to them, their education, is for the service of their neighbor. So if they stand out, if they have had advantages that maybe other children haven't had, it's for service to others. That's communicated through their catechesis, and hopefully that will help balance out any problems in that area.
Then talk about, this is also part and parcel of parenting, because you put the strong emphasis on vocation. You spoke a few moments ago about parents as masks for God's nurture, both emotionally, socially, and intellectually for their children. Maybe what people hear when they hear homeschooling as well, oh, that works if the dad's a pastor, or that works if you have a master's in special ed, or that works if you were a school teacher or something like that. But talk about how it melds together with the vocation of parenting for someone who doesn't have all those special qualifications.
A good organization to look into if someone is interested, if they're listening and interested in pursuing this further, is the National Home Education Research Institute, NHERI. And their statistics show that even parents who have only a high school graduation, a high school diploma, tend to have better success than the average public school in educating their children based on standardized scores such as SAT scores. And I think it's because most parents who want to homeschool are truly invested in their children's education. They take it very seriously and they have that one-on-one. There's no falling through the cracks when you're homeschooling. So they have that advantage. It does not have to be someone professionally trained. The resources are out there that are very teachable too.
Cheryl Swope is our guest. We're talking about homeschooling 101. She is author of the book Simply Classical and co-author of the new publication Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Children at Home. You can purchase both of these books under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, Seems kind of a common sense question, but does it help that these are your kids? We'll be right back.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd. Welcome. 10 more minutes. Homeschooling 101 is our subject with Cheryl Swope. She's homeschooled her two children. She's a lifetime board member of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and author of the book Simply Classical and co-author of Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home. This seems like a kind of common sense question, Cheryl, but does it help that it's your kids? You could send your kid to the best school in the world, but the teacher, the teacher may love your kids, but they're not the teacher's kid. In this case, the kids are the teacher's kids. Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. Especially because you can see their own strengths and talents and you can nurture those. Then you also have the advantage of, you know what their spelling words are. You know what their reading is. So I remember when they were little and I knew exactly what they could read on the McDonald's menu. And so I would say, go ahead and tell me what you want, but look up there and I want to know. I mean, I knew that, but really any involved parent is going to do that if they're involved with their children's education at school too. But yes, that is an advantage that you love them dearly. So you want them to do well.
I think we've talked about this before and I've had homeschooling parents approach me about this on several occasions. They're enthusiastic for the enterprise. They go around looking for curriculum, and they find a lot of Christian curriculum for homeschooling. But some of it comes from, and we would say kind of in Lutheran parlance, comes from a very strongly Reformed standpoint, a Calvinist standpoint, and carries a lot of baggage. Sometimes some of it just overtly political baggage, if you will.
Yes.
Along with the kind of teaching that does not match up with Scripture.
Yes.
Talk about your concerns there and the solution to that kind of problem.
That is a huge point and a very good point to bring up. And I have to say that after Simply Classical was published, Simply Classical, Beautiful Education for Any Child, that's a book about educating special needs children, primarily at home, and bringing this liberal arts and Christian faith education to children with special needs. Well, after that book came out through Memoria Press, I was asked to speak at these enormous homeschooling conventions where I had never even been as a homeschooler. 10,000 people attend these, and they have 50 speakers going on at any given time, all these little breakout sessions, and everybody is an expert. It was mind-boggling to see not only the pedagogical relativism, which is a term I coined there, but the theological relativism, and then the combination of the two. It's like a carnival of relativism, these homeschooling conventions. It's horrific. Then, on top of that, you have all of these vendors selling their products. So the homeschooler goes to these things and is just bombarded by every convolution you can imagine. And yes, the heavy, reformed, dogmatic curriculum approach, all of it is based on obedience. Mm-hmm. So you have your color-coordinated family with everyone is perfectly obedient. And first-time obedience is one of the trademark things that they promote. And even the dog is obeying himself quite well in the photos. And all of that somehow is going to bring about God's kingdom, too. Like you said, there's a political emphasis. And those are so dreadful to impose upon families. It's part of the reason I really wanted to write this book. I mean, in a sense, I didn't have time to write it, but I wanted to be sure that we stayed true to Christianity, that it is God's work for us and Christ's work for our children, for their salvation, that's the message that undergirds everything, that we're not going to impose a burden on our moms who want to homeschool, and we're not going to impose that burden on our children, that we're not going to be thinking that a daily dose of law is going to make that old man better. It's about the mortification of the flesh. If you look at the cover of Eternal Treasures, there's that pelican. It's an image. You can see it on Amazon. That's where we're having the book being distributed, is Amazon. And I think we're going to link to that. But on the cover, there's this pelican. It's an ancient church image that has to do with self-sacrifice, because in a time of famine, so the legend goes, the pelican would pluck from her own chest flesh to feed her babies when there was no food for them. That's the image of Christ for us, that self-sacrifice for our children, for us, that in the end, it's all about forgiveness and hope in his life, death, and resurrection. That's what undergirds our truly Christian homeschooling. Staying true to that message through the divine service, through the word and the sacraments, that's the answer. Also, I will say that I have created for special needs the Simply Classical curriculum as the antidote to this pedagogical and theological relativism. Memoria Press has graciously allowed me to include Concordia Publishing House books in this curriculum. We start at age 2 for special needs and go all the way, and the intention is to go all the way through 21, trying to just stay true to that Christian message of mercy, bathing everything in truth, goodness, and beauty in Christ. For people who don't have special needs children, I believe the Memoria Press curriculum is an alternative to that sort of carnival atmosphere where you can find the salvation thread throughout the studies with a careful avoidance of denominationalism and also a careful avoidance of things like decision theology or we're going to bring about the kingdom through our obedience to the law, all of those things that we want to avoid in our, especially in history. That's prevalent in the history curriculum in homeschooling circles. So I would say visit memoriapress.com and just feast on the wonderful, beautiful books that are there from both kingdoms and both canons, the canon of Western civilization and then the canon of Holy Scripture.
Finally, then, the kind of the practical concern that everyone has is my kid going to be ready for college? Is my kid going to be ready for what lies beyond homeschooling? What's your response to that?
Interestingly, universities are seeking out homeschoolers. It seems like our public schools often perpetuate adolescence in the sense that everything is handed to the child. I don't want to overgeneralize here because I know that that's not always the case. But in homeschooling families, there just by necessity has to be some self-reliance taught to that child because the mother often has more than one child and simply can't hold the hand of that teenager through all of his studies. So often the homeschooler ends up being more self-reliant as a learner than other children might be. An example is we have friends who homeschooled three children all the way through K through 12. They're Lutheran family. The oldest went to Concordia Mequon. In fact, she just graduated from Mequon, but I talked to her that first year and I said, well, was this a culture shock? And she said, yes, but not in the way you're going to think. She said, they made me take how to study classes and, or one class. It was Lutheran, or I don't know what it was, like College 101 or something. I guess it's a common thing. She said, they told us that we had to try to just study for 20 minutes and then take a break and then try to get back and study again. And she said, 20 minutes? I don't even get warmed up until I've been studying for 2 hours. And this was a girl who studied, she did AP, I think it was AP Chemistry and AP Biology completely on her own. Her mom didn't do a thing with her. Mm-hmm. She was so well prepared for college in ways that she might not have been had she gone to the neighborhood school.
Cheryl Swope is a regular guest. She is homeschooler of two children, a lifetime board member for the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, author of the book Simply Classical, you heard her mention that, and co-author of the new publication Eternal Treasures, Teaching Your Child at Home. You can purchase these books and find out more about the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Sarah Pulliam Bailey is going to join us. She's a religion reporter for The Washington Post. She's written a recent story about some abuse charges filed against Bill Gothard, formerly of the Institute of Basic Life Principles, titled New Charges Allege Religious Leader Who Has Ties to the Duggars, Sexually Abused Women. We'll be talking with her about that story. It's kind of an ongoing story from the Institute of Basic Life Principles. Then, a little later, an hour or two of Issues, Etc., will be in Isaiah chapter 43 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our regular series with him every week, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be finding Christ in Isaiah chapter 43. When we come back, the story about Bill Gothard and alleged allegations and charges against him in civil court about sexual abuse some years ago continues. We'll talk about it with Sarah Pulliam Bailey of The Washington Post.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You
you'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.